It's episode number 27 of Raw Health Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Today's show is all about impairing your body image. And I'm sitting down with Michelle Powell of Vitality Reconnected. She is a holistic health practitioner and an inner wellness specialist and has been since 2003. And she's got some interesting insights to share with us all about this crazy topic of body image. So, Michelle, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, Dave. How are you?
Pretty good today, to be honest. So I always like to start with my guest's personal story around health and wellness and how it is that their journey led them to do what it is that they do, because I always find this to be one of the most interesting parts of the show. So what's your story?
Well, I think my story actually started when I was a kid, to be honest, and went all the way through my life to where I am now. I started actually developing eating disorders when I was about 12, 13 years old. And so throughout high school, I really struggled with who I was as a female, my body, with the women and people around me. And then by the time I was about, I think I was like 18 or 19, and I really started to struggle. Not just from the eating disorders, because at that point I was under 40 kilos. And as a woman that's over 5'7", that's a very minuscule weight to be.
Yeah, that's not a lot of Michelle right there.
Not at all. So it was something that was a huge challenge for me, not just on that physical level, but more than anything on the emotional standpoint. And when I could, around what I was doing in hospitality at the time and uni, I would train up to 6 hours a day when I could. It was a complete obsession and denial of where I was at on an emotional level. And it was that time that I started going to a gym, and I got involved in all of that world. And it helped me. The more I learned about the human body and the more I learned about mental health and emotional health and nutrition, the more I helped myself. So I quite literally pulled myself out of the struggles that I was in, first physically, and then took a lot longer mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I could just see it in the women and men as well, but the women that were around me and how they have struggled with it. So the way I saw it is, if I could help just one person not go through the ordeals that I've been through, then it was worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So that's a key word that we're going to keep touching on today, is empowering. Now, your motto is that you're empowering smart, busy women to achieve their health and happiness dreams through education and support. Now, why do you think that word empower is so important? Because, I mean, people can go and see coaches, or they can go and see trainers or therapists or whatever, but ultimately it comes down to them being the one who has to make the choice. Like, they're never going to have their trainer or their coach following them around saying, don't eat this, don't do that and whatnot. Why do you see that being so important?
I think you've hit it directly on the head there, because nobody else can do someone's journey for them. At the end of the day, we cannot motivate, we cannot technically make anyone do anything. They have to find their own motivation, their goals, their dreams, their aspirations, what really puts that fire in their belly to make them want or be or have the experiences, the body, the life, the career, or anything else that they want in their life. It's got to be to them. It's got nothing to do with anybody else but where they're at on their own individual level. And I'm a pretty passionate person, so I like to think that I can give people a bit of a kick up the backside when they need it. But at the end of the day, I want to find out where that fire is for them. What is it that's going to, when they're having a crappy day, that they go, doesn't matter, we're just going to wipe the slate clean, because this is still the goal that I want to achieve, and keeps them on track to what they want to achieve.
Mm, love it. Love it. Now, let's talk about the body image side of things. You're doing an interesting little social experiment at the moment around the topic of body image. What have you been doing?
Well, at the moment, I'm currently interviewing as many men as I can get my hands on, which sounds naughty, but it's not quite that way.
I like that.
and I'm getting their input, their take on the whole thing, because something that I've experienced personally, but also professionally being a female in the health industry, is that when it comes to women's body image, it's women telling women how they should be, what they should accept, what they should do, what they should not do. It's a little bit of a dictatorship, I believe. And I've really seen how all of these memes in society, like strong is the new skinny, big is beautiful, or anything else, like the real body campaigns. I've never met a human being that doesn't have a real body. So I think that we've sort of lost a little bit of what we're trying to achieve with the positive body movement. And my outlook is men are completely being neglected in this whole topic, because at the end of the day, yes, they might have their own body struggles, but we're talking about women here. Mm-hmm. Men have women as a partner, as a sister, as a daughter, as a mother, as friends, as work colleagues. They impacted personally and professionally by these women in their life as well. So I feel it's really important to get their take on the whole thing, and for women to see that, you know, it impacts more than maybe they're aware of. So, for example, I'm interviewing a few fathers that have got young daughters, and their fears for their daughters growing up watching women in society, or men that have dated or have as partners, you know, women that have struggled with this topic within themselves, or other males that maybe work in the health industry too, and what they've noticed within their clients or within their personal relationships. So I think that I'm trying to ultimately create a more rounded approach on the whole topic, so that we can see that it's not so much women telling women what they should or shouldn't do, but it's something that everyone can be involved in and seen as a positive thing that we're supporting each other through. Because the way I've seen it in the body positive movement is men's opinions are taken as either sexual, so it's all about what they do or don't find attractive, or it's taken as a negative, like, well, it's their fault because they've told us that we have to be a certain way. And I don't think that's the entire story. That might be a perception or a particular perspective that someone has experienced, but I don't believe that's the whole entity.
So what did your research show when you were asking men about their thoughts on women's bodies? Who has a more negative approach to the way a woman looks? Is it the women who worry about themselves, or the men who are interacting with them?
So far, I've only interviewed about 12 men, so I've got a whole lot more to do yet. But it has been really interesting, because I've noticed how men just want us to be happy. They really just want the women in their life to see the beauty and wonder that they are from their eyes. And I think it's really been neglected on how it's hurt them too, on when we will reject their compliments, or when we will, you know, not take into account their consideration. And a part of me looks at this and goes, how dare anyone tell someone what they can and can't believe, that what they like, and that's wrong. You know, we're telling men, oh no, you can't find us attractive because we don't find us attractive. So we're essentially belittling them. So it's really taken on a bit of a life itself, to be honest.
So did you find that men were using body image, or the way that women look, as their main assessment of attractiveness with women, or
absolutely not? More often than not, the guys have been telling me that It's actually got nothing to do with how a woman looks like. Sure, they want to feel that physical attraction on some level, but it's how a woman carries herself. It's what she's aiming to achieve in her life. It's the confidence of being who she is and owning who she is. That's essentially what's drawing them in and making them want to find out more about this woman or be with this woman, opposed to whether her thighs touch or whether she's got a belly or not. Like, seriously, I've never had a guy complain about having a naked woman in front of them. And at the end of the day, I think that's the point that a lot of them are trying to make. They're essentially like women in the respect that we want more substance behind it. It's not just what a person looks like in their underwear that's being taken into consideration.
So why do you think there's a disconnect between the way that men feel about the way that a woman looks and the way that she feels about how she looks? Who's driving this?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. In my opinion, I think a lot of it is female-based, with this competitive nature that we have against one another. And I think even it goes back into school as well, with whether it's having to compete on intellectual levels or sport levels. So I think we've grown up with this competitive nature instead of a supporting nature. And that's...
It's funny you mentioned that about schools, because it's... I don't know what the Year 12 exam's called in Australia anymore. I think it's still called the HSC, but they grade you and they give you a mark, but that mark doesn't really matter. It's where you are in comparison to everyone else. So are you above the class average or are you below the class average? And everything they do, it's around, are you beating everyone else in your class or are you just below average?
Yeah, well,
average?
That's exactly it.
And then that actually, and then you go and do all these, it's crazy how it's set up. You go and do all these assessments throughout the year, and then at the end of the year, it doesn't matter what you get in your exam. It's only like if you had the best assessment mid-year mark out of everyone and you did the worst in the exam, you still get the best exam mark. It's
crazy.
And
I think that can set up this mentality of everything is a competition and you've got to be better than, or you've got to be competent in, or, you know, this comparison where we don't just take us as who we are and our unique gifts, because let's face it, everybody that we meet will be superior to us in some way in their life. And we too will be superior in a way to them. And that doesn't mean that anyone is better than anybody else or worse than anybody else. We all have these unique skills and gifts that we can offer to everybody around us. And I really think we should tap into that more instead of seeing that as a threat.
So the keyword, another keyword in your motto, I'll read it out again, empowering smart, busy women to achieve their health and happiness dreams through education and support. So how has this competitive mentality created division rather than unity amongst people, and how do we get that support back?
Look, to me, the whole key there of support is something that I really love bringing back into all of the workshops that I run and everything that I do, because like I said, there's such a divide with the way that we look at one another. Women will look at another woman who's got a perceived sexy body and will be like, bitch, you know, how can she look like that? That's not fair. And, you know, we condemn her before we even know anything about her. But, you know, another part of that could be, well, why don't you ask that woman, does she have any tips or secrets that, you know, she can impart that the rest of us could utilize? Or, and it's not just body, it's every other aspect of life too. Like the woman that's made a hell of a lot of money in business. And, you know, I've overheard people going, oh, well, it's fine for her. Like, she's got money. And, well, hang on, she might have worked really hard for that. Why can't we ask her for maybe some financial tips and support or business tricks that maybe we can impart on and use in our own life too? So I think it's the way that we're looking at it. So I like to challenge people on their thoughts as to, well, why have you come to the conclusion that this person is a bad person or a negative person or a bitch or however you want to talk about it? Because I seriously think women are, they can be just horrible to one another. And that was something that really opened my eyes up when I was in high school, and something that has just blown my mind away ever since, because it's something that has, I think, gone from a school mentality into adult women, into business, into corporate, into this against one another. But I seriously think that if women just support one another and see each other as inspiration instead of a threat, hell, we could be totally unstoppable. You guys could be in major trouble.
I'd be totally all right with that. And it's funny that you say that as well, because even the people who we keep closest to us and look to for support can often be challenged when we try and change or improve ourselves. I mean, one thing that I've noticed, which is really funny, is that whenever someone tries to stop drinking, the people who they would usually go out and have drinks with on a Friday or a Saturday or whatever, get this, they feel like it's a threat. If you go and tell them, hey, I'm not drinking anymore, I've decided to stop this, because they think, well, if she thinks she has a problem, or if he thinks he has a problem doing what we're all doing, then that must mean that we have a problem as well, which we don't, because that's the way that people like to think, oh, there's something wrong with me. And so they'll unconsciously try and sabotage that person's behavior because it's a reflection back on the way that they're acting. Do you see that happening around women improving themselves as
totally.
Well?
Totally. I think that there's two levels with that. I think there's a jealousy level that we tend to look at it from, well, it must be easy for her, or well, good on her, or other sort of negative thought processes. And we come from it with a viewpoint of lack. Like, there's only so much in the universe that can be provided as good quality. So they've got it, but I don't. So we can look at it as from a jealousy perspective there too. But I think that it's not just that, but it's maybe we don't have that belief that we can change something within ourselves, because ultimately people can look at change as very, very scary. We find it hard, we find it daunting, and therefore if someone around us is changing, we can see that as a bit of a threat, because we're going, oh, well, we're not quite at that level. We don't feel comfortable to do that. We don't want to do that. We're not ready for that level. And I think sometimes we can take other people's journeys as where we should be at in our life, instead of being comfortable on your own journey, on your own path, doing what's true and authentic for you at this point in your life.
I love that perspective. Now let's talk about the other part of empowering smart, busy women, education. Mm. Why did you put that word in your motto?
Well, see, nowadays I believe that there is so much contradicting and controversial information out there that I like to just cut through it all. So whether it's on nutrition, or whether it's on relationships, or any topic at all, I think we've got to get back to basics and wipe the slate clean and start again. And that's where the education comes in, because, well, I'm sure that you know with your clients, how confused are they about simple things like how much water they should drink, or is fat good for you, or is fat bad for you, or anything along those lines. They're so confused about the basics. So sometimes I think we've got to back it up and start fresh and start your education over again. And I think that education isn't just about facts, but it's about learning about yourself. We tend to forget that the biggest relationship we can ever have with ourselves, well, in our life, is the one with ourselves. That's a 24/7 relationship, 365 days a year, that we cannot escape. But I found that women in general, they tend to nurture and look after everybody else, and then whatever's left over, they might utilize for themselves. But you've heard the saying that you cannot give what you do not have. And so I'd like women to start to look at, if this was your best friend, your mother, your sister, your daughter, you know, would you want them to be treating themselves the way you're treating yourself? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. So then the question is, so why are you treating yourself that way? So I think it starts to put it into perspective so that they can see how they are speaking to themselves, how they are treating themselves. And it gives them a bit of a benchmark to ask themselves, well, would I speak to my daughter that way? No. So why am I speaking to myself that way?
Mm. So around the education of health for people then, because a lot of people out there listening to this are probably trying to go, or not trying to, going through their own health journey. Is that something that we can learn out of books, or is it something that is done by trial and error? Because while you were talking about that, I was just thinking about this lady who I'm training at the moment, and I took an educated guess based on some stuff that we did on what I thought she should be eating, and it basically came out to look pretty similar to a paleo diet, like high fat, high protein and whatnot. And long story short, it didn't work for her. She got constipated. She had fatigue and all that kind of stuff. And she said, okay, well, this clearly isn't working for me. That you know, that 2 weeks was a waste. And I said, no, it wasn't, because now you know what it feels like when you eat too much fat and protein. Exactly. So that's not really a waste of time. So she, I mean, we could have gone book smart and just said, hey, paleo is perfect for you. If you feel bad now, then there's obviously got to be something else wrong. Let's just keep going with what we know. Or we could have done it the trial and error way. Do you think it needs to be one or the other, or can it be a combination of both?
I think it can be a combination, but just like you said to your client, it's totally not a waste, because there are no two bodies the same. Even twins have very subtle differences, or maybe even extreme differences. But the size, color, shape, location, and how our organs metabolize our food is as unique as our thumbprint. So we've got to find the formula that works for ourselves. And yeah, I think that cleaning up your diet and getting rid of, you know, processed foods and synthetics, and, you know, getting into good quality foods, that can help you feel more, because I really think it's all that feeling stages that you need to go through to figure out, well, what works for you and what doesn't work for you, because one man's food is another man's poison. So I think that, yeah, sure, take that education and trial it, but don't hold it as gospel, because an idea, that is what gets us in trouble more often than not, because we've got an idea, we use our mind, our intellect so much that we forget that our body gives us feedback on everything that we do, on everything that we eat. So why not tap into your own guru that you walk around in every day and see what responses you get? Just like your client that experienced a lot of constipation, she knows, well, gee, that really didn't work for her. That probably made her feel really uncomfortable on many levels. So I think trial and error for sure. And I think that's a part of the life journey, is experiencing and developing that relationship with yourself and with your body on a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level.
Mm. And this client of mine, she loves to learn as well. So she, and I totally supported this, but just she decided, which was amazing, that she would just go vegetarian for 2 weeks. So she would know exactly where she didn't need to be and what it would feel like if she tipped either way, which I thought was amazing. Yeah. That was great. Do you think this concept of education and learning is a process, or is it somewhere where we get to where we'll just say, all right, now I've got it figured out?
I truly don't believe you ever get to that level, if I'm really honest, because I think that we climb a mountain and we go, yes, we've achieved this much, and then we see the next mountain. I think it's a constant learning, growing, and evolving that we have with ourselves and with life. We'll achieve one level and then there'll be more. It's kind of like walking up a flight of stairs. You get onto each step and then there'll be another one and another one. So you've got to stop and really give yourself credit for where you're at and look back every now and then and see how far you've come, because we tend to look at where we want to go and not be appreciative of what we've already done to get to where we're at now. But yeah, I truly believe it's a lifelong relationship. It's lifelong learning. It's not just, oh, I've got all the information now, I'm done. I mean, I've been doing this for over 12 years now, and quite honestly, the more I do it, the more I feel like I don't know anything, because it just accumulates more and more, and you're like, wow, the human body, the human mind, it just blows me away.
So if someone's never going to get to the end point of their health journey, but they're always progressing and feeling better and better and better as they go along, is anyone's body ever going to get to an end point where it's just perfect and they can just relax and they're done? They've won the body image game? Or is it something that they're always going to be improving on? And how should that change someone's perspective around the way they feel about how they look?
I love that question. Because at the end of the day, I think it's a lifestyle and it's an emotional state of going, you know what? My body weight might fluctuate a little bit depending on my stresses or my monthly cycle or whatever else is going on. That, you know, you'll find a lifestyle that works and is congruent for what your goals are and what you want to achieve in your life that makes you feel good. And I think it's a point of acceptance within yourself that this is the body that I have for this lifetime, and this is how I nurture it and look after it. This is what makes me feel good. This doesn't make me feel good. And getting to that place of it's okay. So I don't think that it's healthy to be battling against yourself for your entire life. If you never got to a place of being comfortable in your own skin, I think that's sad on a level because, well, you're missing out because you're spending so much time focusing on what you put in your mouth or how you train or how you don't train or what your body looks like in clothes instead of, you know, what relationships and people can I have in my life? What travel experiences can I have? What career experiences can I have? And I know from experience within my personal life how all-consuming body image can be. You would be paranoid about, oh, my God, I'm meant to be going out to dinner with friends, and you're just freaking out the entire time about what will I eat or won't I eat? Will everybody notice? And you're not even present with those that you love and that you want to actually be spending time with. So I think that on that level, it's more of a mental and emotional health journey, really, to get to that point where, you know what, I'm a human being and that's okay.
Would you rather see people then in social settings like you described, going out to dinner or at the beach or at the gym or something like that, looking at other people and saying, that person looks this way, or this person looks like this when they're exercising, or this person looks like this when they're dressed up and they're out on the town, and making that comparison to themselves, or looking back at where we used to be 2 or 3 or 5 years ago on our own health journey and saying, look at how far I've come, I'm on the way.
Yeah, I completely agree with the latter part of that, because how can we compare ourselves to anybody else? We don't know their journey. We don't know their story. I mean, look at yourself. How many people have looked at you and gone, oh, it must be all right for you. You're a fit guy. But they don't know your story. They don't know your background and your struggles with your own weight. They just see where you're at now. So I think the only person that you can ever truly compare yourself with is yourself.
And on an attraction level, do you think someone is more attracted to the way a person looks, whether it be a man or a woman, or on the journey that they're taking part in and how far along they've come and how hard they're working on it, based on your research and experience?
I truly believe it's all encompassing. There does need to be a physical attraction, you know, that chemical response that we have from, you know, being around our partner. But that's fleeting. And something that I've found over the years, not just with interviewing men, but women as well, with the, you know, it's ultimately who somebody is and what they're aiming for in life and who they are as an individual that can either make or break how someone looks. So someone can appear attractive on the outside, but maybe they've got no substance to them and they're a bit wishy-washy and you're just like, oh, okay, well, that sort of ruins that. Or the total opposite can happen and someone might be, you know, a little bit on the attracted side and then once they start talking, like, oh, my God, this person is amazing. Look at what they're trying to achieve in life. Look at what they stand for, and it's really congruent. And therefore that attraction is then amplified and taken to a whole new level. So I think it's pieces of the whole thing. But more importantly, at the end of the day, it's who the person is, because that's who you're having a relationship with. That's who you're having a conversation with. You're sharing your life with, your thoughts, your feelings, and who you are.
Love it. So what would be some action points that you would suggest women or men listening to this right now could take away and start working on right now to try and, I don't want to say come to grips, but get themselves in the right frame of mind around the way that they look and the journey that they're on, and being supportive of other people around them as well?
I think first and foremost, you have to ask yourself the question, why is this important to you? Why is this a goal or an obsession or something that you want or need to achieve? And you know what? There might be some damn good reasons that someone wants to do it. Maybe they're overweight and they want to have a family and they really do need to lose weight in order to get healthy to conceive. That's a legitimate goal and health concern. So there are plenty of times when it is appropriate, but when it becomes overboard and all-consuming. So I'll actually give you an example from this morning. I had a woman that I've known probably for about a year or so now. She's struggled practically her entire life. She's been involved in dance, and now she's in her 40s. And in her discussion with me this morning, she was saying, you know, Michelle, I really need to get help with this, because it's to the point where I still can't look at myself in the mirror. I can't stand on the scales without freaking out about the number that it's going to give back to me and whether it's going to suit my, you know, mental state. And I think that, like I said, it's really an emotional journey. But if you're having those experiences where it's all consuming and you're worried about getting to a particular level, I think that will detract away from what you're trying to achieve, because ultimately, don't we want to be happy and feel good? I don't think it matters who we are. I think that's a main goal for everybody. But the thing is, when we put on maybe a definition of, well, I've got to be 40 kilos in order to feel happy and good, I know from experience that doesn't work. You're always seeking another level then. It's like, oh, it's kind of like people with their bank account. They'll feel safe and secure if they've got X amount of dollars in the bank account. And then when that's there, well, actually, I don't feel safe and secure enough. There's no defined limit. But if it's something that you're struggling with, I truly believe that human beings need one another. We need that support to get each other through. It's not something that we can do on our own. And I've had plenty of coaching on myself personally throughout the years, because at the end of the day, like I said, you are your own entity. The only thing you can ever invest in is yourself, really. That's the only thing that's ever truly yours. So I would really encourage you to seek help, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, nutritionally, or all of the above. There will be something out there or someone that maybe has been where you're at that can give you some tips and pointers. And the thing is, I don't believe it's totally generic. It's not, oh, well, I'm having a body image problem, so I just need to eat food, or I just need to get to the gym, or whatever it is, because each individual will come to this, I don't really like to call it issue, but I like to call it lesson in life, for a purpose, for a particular reason, and they're all unique. So I honestly think talking about it, sharing it, don't letting it fester, because then it can balloon internally into this massive ordeal and become out of hand. And I know through personal experience, the more that you keep it in, the more it internalizes and can just fire it up even more.
And people would be surprised to hear this maybe, but even as health coaches, we still are on this journey as well. We don't have everything
figured
out. I mean, I only learned last week. I found out a couple of months ago that I have some liver problem where I don't methylate properly. And if I don't eat green leafy vegetables, I'm just ruined. And I found out, when was it, last week, I went for 2 days without any green leafies and I was just wrecked. I was tired the whole time. I couldn't handle it. But it's just another lesson that I've learned. I mean, I've come a long way since realizing that drinking a liter of Coke every single day and then going home and feeling bad about yourself isn't the best life plan, but it's always a process of learning and just taking that next
step.
Totally,
absolutely. And that's the thing too, just because someone is a coach or a professional or an expert in any particular field, it doesn't mean they're not human. I mean, I have people that are surprised that I've had struggles with my own health. I've had, oh my God, so many digestive problems. It's not funny. And I think a lot of that comes from the abuse that I've done on my body with eating disorders and binge eating and a whole lot of other issues that I've had in my life. And so we've all got our own journey and we are in human flesh. So we all have those things to learn, definitely.
So last question for you then, Michelle. Do you think there's ever a time and a place for someone to set a goal for themselves or decide what's really important, like you mentioned earlier, as maybe having a photo of someone like a Jessica Biel, or to be fair, I'll put in a male example, like a Ryan Reynolds or someone like that, on their wall and say, this is what I want to look like? Do you think that can ever be okay? And if so, what would that look like?
I think that there's a level where it might be a kick up the bum, if that makes sense. Like, there's a point where it depends on the individual as to whether it's a help or a hindrance. Because some people will look at that and go, I'll never achieve that ideal, and it will belittle them and make them feel bad and start that whole downward spiral. But to another individual, they might look at that and go, I can do that and I can achieve that if I just get off my backside and make it happen. It just depends on the individual and what they're trying to achieve and why they're trying to achieve it. Why do they want to look like that in the first place?
Perfect, perfect. Love that, Michelle. So for everyone out there who's listening, you can find Michelle at vitalityreconnected.com.au. You can find Michelle on Facebook at Vitality Reconnected. And Michelle, where can people see your little YouTube series?
Yeah, it's
series?
Called...
YouTube, obviously.
My channel is called Vitality with Michelle. I put new videos up every Monday.
And you're running a blog as well on your website, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that one's a little bit more sporadic, to be honest. But the YouTube, that's every single week.
I did look at your YouTube this morning. I quite enjoyed it. There's some stuff there that everyone should go and check out. So thank you so much, Michelle, for sharing your wisdom on empowering your body image. Or not your body image, but everyone listening. Is there any closing comments you wanted to leave us with?
You put me on the spot. No, thanks for having me today, Dave. And look, just remember that it's your own journey. So be true to who you are and that authentic self within.
Love that. Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with Dr. Robert Brody of the Blood Type Diet, bringing some truth bombs to the world of nutrition and teaching you that there is no one size that can ever fit all. Thanks so much for listening, friends. I'll see you then.